Phase 1 of the ground-penetrating radar is currently underway on the former Blue Quills residential school grounds. Hello, I'm Daniel Barker Trombley from CFWE, and I sat down with Sherry Chesson, president of UBQ, St. Paul Mayor Maureen Miller, and Elder Francis Whiskey Jack, a Blue Quills residential school survivor, to talk about the ground-penetrating radar that is happening on the former residential school grounds, which will take up to 5 days. For the listeners, can you please introduce yourselves and your titles?
Sherry Chisholm, Sikasin, Natsquapone, Kotinia, Gwani Sagitani, Tatuski, Winomota University, Nokhalotine, Tayouts, and Nestime Magan at Blue Quills, where I work as president.
Kayotrugisi, Kotinikasun, my ceremonial name is Fine Day, but otherwise known as Dr. and Elder Francis Whiskajack, and I work basically with the University of McEwen and the University of Alberta. To hear what's done, and First People's House.
Maureen Miller, and I am the mayor of the town of St. Paul.
Again, like I said off the recording, it is an honor and a pleasure to speak with all three of you here this afternoon for CFWE. So let's, for the listeners here, I'll start off with Sherry. So Sherry, can you tell listeners at CFWE what is currently under commence right now at the former residential school of Blue Quills that is happening, you know, within that area?
Yes. So this is phase one of the ground search. And we began our planning in May last year when we had a ceremonial fire, when we heard the news from Kamloops. And we knew, because people have been talking to us for generations, really, about the deaths that happened at Blue Quills. So we knew there would be graves here, and people have talked to us about there's going to be some here, there's going to be some over there. And so we started Tuesday morning in ceremony with a pipe ceremony, and we have the group from the University of Alberta, the Indigenous Prairie and Indigenous Archaeology, or the Institute of Prairie Indigenous Archaeology, and Dr. Keisha Supernant and her team are here. And so every day we have started in ceremony. We have a fire that's been going from the beginning. We keep it going 24 hours a day, and people have come to sit with us to talk about their memories and their experiences. We've had multiple generations here, multiple survivors from many, many communities have come here to share their time with us and to support one another. It's all been very natural and spontaneous and organic, and a lot of healing has happened. We've had lots of song, lots of prayer, and lots of story.
And for the mayor, for all of this, once it started, once the announcement came and the decision was made to do this ground-penetrating radar, for you and for the town of St. Paul, what has been the overall reaction since the announcement had came and since the action has taken place?
That's a very good question. And I think that as a community, everybody is at different levels of understanding, for sure. We've got an amazing relationship with Blue Quills and with our neighbors that started some time ago, and this story is part of understanding that relationship. And I believe that there are many within the community that, as I would say, if somebody said, what can you do? It's like, what would you do if you had your neighbor mourning? What would you do? And you do that. And just accepting and making the conversation open to understanding and learning. I would say our community, and I can't speak for everybody, of course, because we're all at different levels, and I would say that our community is definitely open to understanding our own history and our contribution too.
And for you, Francis Whiskey Jack, with all this happening right now, you know, within this time of truth and reconciliation and with the ground penetrating radar at the former residential school of Blue Quills, what is your overall thoughts about this whole process?
Thank you, Daniel. My thoughts are, first of all, I must mention that I'm a residential school survivor. It's been very difficult to come back here with what has happened and transpired in the past. But what I have found most in the walk, the healing journey that I've been on, is that the importance of how our ceremonies are actually a good way to look at indigenous psychology, because in ceremony we work with healing our spirit, we work with acknowledging our physical to be addicted free, we work with our mindset to know our ceremonies, to know our culture, to be proud of identity, and especially to be able to speak the language and to acknowledge our emotions, to be able to laugh and have fun in our ceremonies, but also in the times that we're able to cry. Many of us growing up in residential school didn't have that ability to cry and really let go. Everything was kept in inwardly, so therefore there was really a lot of silent suffering. And even today, for as a residential school survivor, to be able to understand those that are still grieving and being victims, it's some are, I guess, in a state where they've given up on life and they've lost their spirit. And it's so sad to see when I work in Edmonton and I see downtown around Boyle Street and all those areas that our people are suffering on the streets. When I see how many of our people are in the jails, this is a direct result of what has happened in history. And people that do not understand where the problem, the root problem comes from, find it very difficult to be able to be tolerant of such pain. And I understand, because I'm one of them. And I find that I'm very fortunate today that I've made that life change only because of ceremony. So for now, I'll say that. I have so much more I could say, but I just wanted to share some of this. And real truth, and understanding real truth, as I've said to my colleagues here, comes from a lived experience and knowing what we went through to be able to understand that. And I try to share this message to our supporters in a positive way as much as possible. That's where true forgiveness is. Thank you.
When you had said that, you know, that you only wanted to say what you said for now to move on to a positive light, but can you tell the listeners for CFWE some of the things that transpired within the Blue Quills Residential School, just so that they, like you had said, that they can understand what had transpired within those walls many years ago?
In hearing the news of the unmarked graves, we attach that and connect that with our ceremonial beliefs, our connection to the spirit world, our connection to the stars, our connection to Mother Earth, natural law. Many of the four laws that we believe in, the universal law, traditional law, but also in the way of song and how we move the spirit with song. And all these things are all in these ceremonies for young people, our young people today, to be learning their culture in the way of dance and song, and to be proud of their identity, to go back to knowing the language that really connects, like Cree is a root term that connects to everything that happens and that connects to the spirit world. You know, there's a meaning in every Cree word that really connects you to the spiritual realm, the Mother Earth, and everything like that. And when one begins to understand that, and it's the healthy mindset, and I try to encourage people and build that self-esteem to be proud of who they are, and that'll build your identity, but it also will guide you to make the right choices in life through the mindset, and you know which friends you should hang out with, and to think in a healthy, a clean way, because you know, like when we say Mother Earth is clean, we can adapt to that, just like water, as we one of the elements. We wash with it. It gives us strength, stamina, energy, endurance. But it's also knowing that history of where water comes from our mothers when they give birth. And you know, these are the teachings, the whole cultural values that I practice and that I've learned from the elders and that connect me with ceremony. And when one gets to understand that. It's not just an overnight thing. It's a lifetime journey. And to practice and walk that requires great discipline. But also in that discipline, there is that self-love and self-love to community and everyone else.
My next question is for Sherry. Sherry, you had mentioned earlier this interview that this is phase one. So when phase two takes effect, is that going to be after what the discoveries may be in the numbers once you guys have that on the table in front of you, once that comes about in the wintertime?
We haven't determined that exactly yet. We're having some conversations about maybe some additional searching before the snow comes, if it's possible, because during this week, as survivors have attended, they've given us direction. We have a large map of our territory here, and they've been going to that map and putting a note on there to look over here and look over there. And so once the team is finished here, we'll have a conversation with them about the possibility of doing phase two. We don't know how many phases there will be. There's a whole section of land that was used by Blue Quills. And in fact, there's two additional sections of private land that were used during the peak farming times. And so there's a lot of information still to be gathered. And we're taking it step by step. And we will... We know that the results take some time to come in before we know what their findings are, but we also know that there are other locations that they're very likely could be graves.
The question that also came to mind, both yourself, Sherry, and the mayor of St. Paul could be answer this, whichever one wants to go first. Is that with this residential school very well known to have been both in Lac La Biche at the time back in, you know, when it was in Lac La Biche, Alberta, and also within Saddle Lake as well. Are there talks about also doing ground penetrating radar as well over in those specific locations? Because I know myself from when I come from Lac La Biche, Alberta, and when I had a visit there, the mission representatives there, they had stated that it will take years for them to even take that step. Is there going to be a team effort from both St. Paul and, you know, for those involved that are currently doing what they're doing with Blue Quills to help escalate that for those findings and that research to be conducted where Blue Quills used to be located in both Lac La Biche and Saddle Lake?
Yeah, so there are many initiatives that are happening, and we anticipate that more will grow and that each community will organize around this, because people from these various nations have gone to school, some here at Blue Quills, some at the Edmonton School, some at Red Deer, some at Onion Lake, some at Brandon. And so we anticipate that some communities will be organizing their own processes. We know that Saddle Lake has a group that has organized to do this work, and they announced several weeks ago, I think in May, their preliminary findings about the Saddle Lake site. And so their early focus is on that site, and we'll do what we can to support. If there's any information that comes to us through our process, we will readily share that information. There have been some conversations about Lac La Biche, but at this point, I think we're focusing on the more local for now, but we will definitely be open to whatever process emerges with our nations and however they're organizing, and whatever we can do to facilitate the search on this site as well as support the searches that are happening at other sites.
And the mayor, would you like to add anything to that?
I have nothing to contribute to that. No, I had, other than as community, you can sense the graciousness of the company I'm in here today, and I hope to embody that within our communities to support whatever needs to happen, that it's respectful, and I see this being a great example of how community can work. So definitely with community support, whatever needs to happen, that it's in a respectful manner.
And for you, Mayor, so when Sherry had stated that when that time comes to reach out to places like Lac La Biche and Saddle Lake across the nations in regards to helping in any way that you guys can, have you yourself, have you had talks with the mayor of Lac La Biche to say, hey, we're doing this right now within St. Paul with the Blue Quills Residential School, and with we know from what we gathered from the information that we have on hand that this used to be located in Lac La Biche, are you like in Lac La Biche per se, are they prepared to work alongside yourself to do the research that you guys are conducting in St. Paul?
I can tell you from my experience with our mayors and Rees in the area, I know that I'm often referenced as to my own journey and how I got to where I was and how I can support a community in learning. So I can say that the Lac La Biche Mayor has actually reached out to me and just wondered how I got to where I am today. And so I think that a lot of that, and actually it's been through leaders such as Sherry, I can say that I've reached out many times and graciously had a response, but I think that to know my experience is I think people are just frozen. They want to help and they don't know how to help. And I think it's like you just have to do something. Sitting, not helping because you don't know how, I think that you just need to do something. So that's where the action comes in when we were talking earlier about reconciliation. It isn't reconciliation, it is action. And so I hope that, and I will definitely support in how my journey has gotten to me where I am today, and support them in getting that conversation open. So that's how it starts. It's an open conversation and respect.
And Daniel, if I might just add, just to clarify that Blue Quills has been working with our local Seven Nations since last spring, and we've invited them into an advisory committee process, and what I was referring to is that we will also respect any processes that emerge within any of those nations and do what we can to support them, but we have been working with our nations for the past year and so.
So my final question for all three of you is, once the numbers do come out and the facts are there, what will the next step be? Like, will you guys do a repeat of what happened within Kamloops? Will a monument be built? Will there be a ceremony for open to the public to come down to either lay flowers or children's shoes or whichever have you to take part of any kind of ceremony that will happen once the numbers are released?
I'll start with that one. That decision will come as the process unfolds, and it will involve the voices of survivors to determine what we do. I'm certain that there will be ceremony because everything that we've done has been through ceremony, but beyond that, that will be up to survivors and families to come together and decide collectively what is the best way to honor those children who never got to go home and to honor the families whose children never came home. Mm-hmm. And there will be markers, there will be ceremonies, but beyond that, we don't have details at this point, and we don't want to preempt that. We want that to be a process that survivors' voices are respected.
Yeah, and also on that note, I'm going to take this time to acknowledge all the different elders that have been involved in many ceremonies, through the Sundance, through the Vision Quest Lodges, through the Sweat Lodges, through the different pipe carriers. And this is only the beginning of finding the marked graves or unmarked graves. But not only that, it involves the missing and murdered Aboriginal woman, which I've had to work with, the 60s group. Like, when you talk about residential school survival, it involves so many things, so many of our losses, our families that even have been adopted out to different countries and that have tried to find their way back home. So it's a whole long process of many, many things. And this is where a lot of our our elders that have gone to the spirit world, so many that have started this journey and have gone to the spirit world and are lost. I still think about those, and even from the time that Blue Quills, this residential school, it wasn't even a residential school, it was more of an institution, and I don't know why they called it residential school, but this is where a lot of our elders started this journey to turn this into a cultural place, a place of ceremony, and that's important to know. Many of our survivors find it hard even to return here, and so I keep this in mind, and you know, I'm very honored to be here today. It's a beautiful day, and what we've done in as far as every morning that when this project started with Sherry and was started off with different elders with that carried that right to carry pipe and do the prayers for the people, and it's a good way to start. It's a positive note, and that's why I say I like to acknowledge all the elders that do their best in the way they know how to support this in a good way.
And as for the town, Sherry, as you've just heard, I mean, the community will be led in how we can participate and assist and learn. It'll be the direction of the survivors and respecting those families. And, like, it's... I really have no words. It's a humbling, amazing experience to be here today, and I think it'll just continue to move along how it's intended to be, and we will support where our role is.
And I'd like to add one more thing, Daniel. It's been an honor this week that all of the men and women who have come to lift their pipes in ceremony to start us each day have been survivors, and an honor to sit with them in a teepee in front of the old Indian residential school, and to understand how difficult it is sometimes to come back to this place, to stand on these grounds, to be around this building, and but to think about the beautiful the transformation from the time that they were here as children and suffering that pain, to see them sitting here lifting their pipes and leading us in ceremony and sharing their teachings with us, because Indian residential schools has done enough to try and tear us apart and destroy our languages and our families and our cultures and our ceremonies. And our hope is that the work that we're doing and doing through ceremony and through education is going to pull us back together. Mm-hmm. We acknowledge and respect that there are many diverse and complex perspectives on this work in our nations and in others, and that's part of the work that's ahead of us is how do we heal together.
For Windspeaker Media News, I'm Daniel Barker Tremblay.